Welcome to the intersection of personal and professional development. This is Audio Motivation. Hi, everybody. It's Andy O'Brien again for Audio Motivation, and this is a big day for me. I'm here with Tom Hopkins, sales trainer and best-selling author. I mean, he's just a legend in the sales world, and it's just such a thrill to have him back after a 12-year not talking to him much since 2005 when I interviewed Tom for Audio Motivation way back then. So, Tom Hopkins, welcome, and thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Andy. Good to be back. Gosh, it's been a fast 12 years.
Yeah, hasn't it?
and here we're both alive and well. Hey!
And, you know, at some point in this call, I want to talk about your new book, too, right? Well, at least it's somewhat new, right? When Buyers Say No?
Oh, yes, and it's doing so well. So, yeah, we'll do that at the end of our talk. Excellent.
Fantastic. Okay, I want to jump right into people who are just kind of starting out in sales, because there's a lot of apprehension and anxiety. So if they're listening to this, what should their first steps be, you know, if they want to have a successful career in sales?
Well, there are steps. The first one is they need to really memorize as much as they can about the product. See, many people go into sales and they don't have in-depth product knowledge, so they spend the first few months trying to answer questions, trying to understand. Now, if they've got a company that they're going to work for, they need to talk to the manager and say, what are the main key items that I need to know that are the benefits of our product to the consumer that invests in it? That's step number one. I think the next step is they need to ask the manager, the owner, who is the top salesperson in the company. And then, of course, when they give that name to them, they go to that person and say, I would like to have the opportunity to learn underneath you. You're the number one salesperson. And if I could just listen to you on the phone, maybe hear what you say to people, that would be super. And then, of course, the third thing is that they really focus on how the top producer comes across both on the phone and in person. And I think if they'll do these things, they will start off their career destined to be very successful in the field of sales and marketing.
You know, I've had, I've had my own experience in the sales world over the years, and I've found it to be like, it seems easy, somewhat easy to get a sales job, but it's also easy to lose one. And so those are really good steps. But at the same time, there's also common mistakes, right? I mean, people are making certain, like, there's certain problem areas for people. And what are some of those that you've seen over the years?
Well, the person that gravitates naturally into selling is usually a person we call the interesting extrovert. And this person, Andy, is too talkative. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a great presentation, knowing how to speak properly, of course. But the average person that starts into sales, they overwhelm people with speaking instead of listening. Now, I, of course, have always taught you must become a master asker. Master asker, which means you master the art of asking questions and you become an excellent listener. And the average salesperson that doesn't do well is always thinking about what they're going to say next. Yep. Instead of focusing on what will I ask next to get the person that I'm talking to open up and give me more information. Now, because there's a basic truth, Andy, that in any conversation, the person who is talking is only learning what they already know. And one of the arts of the field of selling is to learn what they know so you can ask them the right questions, lead them to the benefits your product offers them. And so become a master asker And if you'll work on questioning and listening instead of talking and telling, you'll do much better in the field of sales.
Listening is a lost art, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. Yeah. And, you know, the best type of listener I call the empathetic listener. And that's the person who puts themselves in the other person's shoes. So when they're listening, they're feeling the way they feel. And, of course, the person talking now senses that. And they're much more interested in talking because they feel the person cares about what they're saying and isn't just waiting to find out what they're going to say next.
Right. Because people like to talk about themselves. I mean, it's human nature, I would think, right?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's normal. But again, I've always found one thing, Andy, be the opposite of everyone else and you'll probably make a lot more money.
Yeah, that's probably true. Now, we've touched on some of the, like one thing you said minutes ago that was great was when someone's just starting out, they are getting, they want to find one of the best people in the company and learn how they do it. So what are some of the common traits among the best salespeople out there?
Well, basically, you know, the truth of the whole thing is what the income you earn determines how good you are. And I went to a seminar when I was a brand new neophyte, scared to death real estate agent. And the guy at the seminar said, find out the top producer that you can and ask if they'll let you go along with them on presentations, on demonstrations and so forth. So the company I worked for back then, it was one of the largest real estate companies, maybe in the United States. And the top producer was a woman named Rose Lane. And I went to Rose Lane and said, Rose, you're the number one producer. I'm 19 years of age, scared to death, have never sold real estate. And this guy at the seminar said, find a top producer and tag along with them. And I humbled myself and said, would you mind if I just listened to you on the phone and went with you on some presentations? And one thing, Andy, I've learned over the years is the highest income people, most of them, now this is not always true, but most of them really want to help people who aren't successful become successful. And she, of course, was gracious, said, sure. So I went along with her. I just intensely listened to what she said, how she said it. I made a lot of notes. And sure enough, I started, in essence, copying her. And I think one of the keys to success is copy those who are successful in the way they speak, how they come across, how they establish rapport with people, how they ask a lot of questions. And I think copying is one of the ways you become much more successful.
Yeah, there's no need to reinvent the wheel, you know.
Oh, exactly.
Because, I mean, those people have already laid the groundwork. You know, they did the heavy lifting, you know, or they copied the people before them. So you might as well, you know, pull out those common traits. So that makes a lot of sense. Let's talk, shift gears a little bit. I want to talk about referrals because, you know, for my own business, referrals has been just a huge part of my success. And for a lot of people, a lot of successful salespeople, referrals is really the lifeblood. So is there a formula or, you know, what have you seen in for getting referrals that's been successful?
Well, first of all, there are people, and you'll never know who they are, but who have given referrals in the past, and because of that salesperson not doing a good job, it was a real negative effect. So I try to ask people not to say referrals, but call it quality introductions. And what I always did, what I try to teach my students to do, is in the beginning, prepare them for quality introductions. In other words, Andy, if you were my client we just met our first time. I would say, you know, Andy, I chose our company because of the professionalism, and they've asked me, now see, you're now talking about the company. They've asked me in the beginning, as we start to do business, to let you know that we have tried to give such great service that we earn the right to get quality introductions at the end of our transaction. So I'd like to just let you know that if I do the job and if you're happy with me, I'll ask for a few quality introductions through some other folks that we might serve. Will that be okay with you?
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right in the beginning. Now, see, they've heard the words quality introductions. It's in the beginning. Now, you might have a sales process that takes a month, could be a week, could be a year. But in the process, you're always letting them know that you're doing your best to serve them. Then at the end of it, you simply say, now, you remember back when we started, I told you that my upper management of the company has asked me to get your permission to get some quality introductions. So I'd love to do that now. And let's start talking about some of the people closest to you. Now, that's another thing. See, if you ask for a referral or even call it a quality introduction, as I suggest, they won't know anybody unless you start bringing up small groups of people. So in other words, they won't know anybody if you just ask them for referrals or quality introductions. Now you're giving them the whole country to look at. But when you say, why don't we start with the people closest to you? Obviously, you've got the three children. You've got some friends and relatives. Who comes to your mind that I might serve like we've served you? Now, what's amazing, when you bring it to the small groups of people, you know, like when I met a client, if I saw they were a bowler and had bowling trophies, well, I know that all during the bowling season, they'll have four or five people they're seeing every week. So that's a small group that I can say, hey, the folks you bowl with, which of them might we serve in the future like we have served you? Then, of course, I do friends, relatives. But the key is to isolate faces for them to see so that you're not asking them to look at the whole world.
Right.
And that's how I got lots of referrals, quality introductions, and I built my whole business on getting that with the process of asking in the beginning, letting them know that the company's asked me to do this. It's not me. I want to make my company happy by doing what they've taught me to do. And then at the end of the transaction saying, now, who are the three or four folks that I might talk to, as you agreed earlier, that I could ask for some quality introductions? And it's a great process.
Yeah, and it can snowball, right? I mean, because those three or four people will also know three or four people, and, you know, and so on. So it can take off.
Well, and that's how you build a business. You know, you almost have to prospect your way out of having to prospect, because you build a reputation, you have a great feeling about your business, people like and trust you, they want to do business with you not once, but for a lifetime. And that's in essence how you build a huge income-producing business.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I love the quality introduction term instead of referrals. That's great.
Oh, thank you. Good.
Now, what about the home business owner, you know, entrepreneurs, people who are deciding to maybe leave their job and make a go of it themselves, and yet maybe the first year or two they've just run up against a brick wall and have become frustrated. I'm sure you've come across these folks over the years, and what do you say to them? I mean, it's tough. I've been through it myself, and it's easy to get discouraged, but you know, what are some of the things that you say to kind of get them out of their rut?
Well, the subject we're talking about really takes more than just a few minutes, but
yeah.
It really does, because it really comes back to good goal setting. And if a person is not happy with what they're doing, I've always said, you know, life is too short not to be happy. So you've got to do research on where do you think you could go in a company with a product that you believe in. And I think what you need to do is say, okay, if I'm going to open up my own business, be an entrepreneur, if I'm going to give up my salaried position to earn an income in some type of sales, well, then you have to decide how much a month you must make to live for, say, 6 months without making any money. Then you set a goal. I'm going to need X amount of dollars in the bank or in a mutual fund so that I do not have to make money. So now you get frugal, you talk to your spouse and say, we're tightening up the belt, and I might take 6 months to a year to have enough income to take a risk without needing to make money. See, one of the reasons businesses fail is they lack capital to spend the time to build the business. So I've always tried to teach people, hey, let's set a goal. You're going to leave this company or whatever it is. You're going to find a business you love or open up your own company, but you need 6 months of your income so that you don't have to be stressed by financial stress. And so that's kind of what I teach people to do. And I've had so many people do that to where they literally, you know, they absolutely make the money. And that's how they've built their business. But you got to set a goal, you and your spouse, if you have one. You got to say, okay, we need X amount of dollars in the bank so I can give up my job, which I hate, open up my own company, become an entrepreneur, or go into sales or earn a commission, which is the best place to make a lot of money. But I also suggest that they get education. And I'd love them to you know, come and take advantage of some of the things we teach and our training, and I'd love to have them become a student of mine.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a nice segue into all of the things. I mean, TomHopkins.com is just a treasure chest of information, and you have your videos that they can sign up for, and information about your new book, and so yeah, I would love people to go over there. There's CDs and DVDs and MP3s and all kinds of training systems, and man, what a great resource.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you know, we're really excited too that, you know, we have a lot of folks in California over the years where I was born and raised, and we're having this two-day in March 2nd and 3rd in San Gabriel at the beautiful brand new Sheraton. And so if they go to our website, you know, too, Andy, they can find out about that. And I'd love them to come see me in person. I teach for 16 hours myself only. And so maybe that's something they'd like to look into.
Absolutely. And, you know, the people listening to this, I know we're talking in December right now, if you're listening to this now. But really, the things they learn in the month of December can really lay the groundwork for a successful year ahead, right?
Oh, definitely. In fact, what I found over the years, both in sales and in management, is the top producer doesn't do what average producers do in December, which is they slow down mentally, they feel there's not a lot of business, so they have lack of activity, and then the momentum in January takes so much more to get started. I took advantage of December. I did follow-up calls. I of course, had a wonderful mailing letter thanking everybody for being one of my clients. I would even call late at night to the businesses I worked with so that they wouldn't be there, but I could leave a message wishing the family a nice, wonderful holiday season. But please don't slow down in December. Speed up activity, follow up, keep in touch, let your clients know you care, and you'll be amazed. If you have quality activity, you'll have great January, February productivity.
Absolutely. And it's a competitive edge too, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Because most people aren't doing that. So
that's right.
It's a good thing to keep in mind. Now, I want to talk about your book because When Buyers Say No, it's a great title because, you know, it seems like there's rejection everywhere nowadays, and people are just so jaded and skeptical, and they're just bombarded by all kinds of sales and marketing messages. So naturally, it's almost like no is the default now. So tell me about the book. What? How does that play into it?
Well, I'm thrilled with the book. It's my 19th, or I'm sorry, 18th. And we've received an award in Beverly Hills, California. 100 authors were brought in, and they chose When Buyers Say No as the number one book of the year. And I'm thrilled because if you think about it, until the NO word comes up, you're not selling. You're giving information, education, motivation. But when they say no, that's when the art form starts. And I also learned over the years, 8 years full-time selling, that until they say no, you really haven't got a grasp of how you can lead it to a yes. So no is not bad. No is necessary to lead from the no to the yes. And that's one reason why I'm so thrilled about the book, because I've always felt like until the word no comes up, everything is information, education, motivation. When you get that and you know how to take that darn no into three word letters, yes, that's when you make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So where can they get? They can go on your site, right? But is it on, is there anywhere else they can go? Or
Well, Amazon, of course, handles all my books. Okay. But they can go to tomhopkins.com. If they also, too, Andy, I have a thing called the free resource page, which if they go to our website, they push free resource page. I have got thank you notes. I've got all these ideas that are totally complimentary that they can take, because we know that many brand new salespeople don't have a lot of money. So we want to give them something to get started. So my suggestion for the holidays would be maybe go to the tomhopkins.com and go to the free resource page and let us get you started building your business.
Okay, tomhopkins.com is the place to go. And boy, Tom, let's do this again and not wait 12 years, okay?
Yes, I would like, let's have an annual salesperson day, Andy.
Yes.
Where once a year we tout it. And we'll get all your folks on there and we'll, you know, maybe get into the in-depth of the art of closing a sale and so forth. So that'll be super. I'll look forward to it. And hey, my friend, thank you and have a wonderful holiday season to you and all of your wonderful listeners.
Tom Hopkins, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Audio Motivation. Join us in our membership community for even more in-depth interviews, transcripts, and bonus gifts, all designed to keep you motivated and inspired.